Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what a great time it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I come this morning saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We would also like to be in prayer this week for those going through the events. And, oh wow, that must be two new children's workers back there. How about that? Praise God. We continue in prayer for those going through the difficult times under Hurricane Harvey out in Texas. It's going to be a 500-year flood, according to everything that they are saying. And if you would, please get your Bibles out. Turn in the Word of God to Joshua chapter 24. And we'll be in verses 13 through 15 and meandering through Scripture today a little bit. But I just want you guys to understand that we have come to the end of our series. Amen. By now, if you were to drop your Bible, it would probably fall open to the book of Joshua. And we have been here since the very first of the year. And we've been learning about living the significant life. One of our dear ladies in our greeters ministry said to me Wednesday night during the service that she has found that it has become part of her verbiage, part of how she speaks. She was talking with someone at work, and they were wondering about certain things, and she said, "Well, the problem is that you need to learn how to live a significant life. And let me share with you how that can be done." And we all know that that is done through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So as I said, we've come to the end of our series. And at this point in Scripture, Joshua is an old man. Now, not an old man or an old person like some of us believe that those young people thought as they were leaving. You know, we saw a big crowd of young people. They think we're old. They think that we are old, all right? One of them asked me last week, "Pastor Larry, does your gray hair bother you?" And I said, "No, because it's there." But if you would, I forgot to do this all over the sanctuary. If you're Joshua chapter 24, verses 13 through 15, if you have your Bible, raise the Word of God in the air above you. Amen. I love seeing the Word of God. Great job, Miss Shirley. Miss Shirley has the iPad going on there. I saw it was on Scripture, and it was not on solitaire or something like that. But Joshua is an old man. He's 110 years old, and he's giving his farewell address to the people that he has faithfully led for all of these years. And his point in this farewell address, the point before he dies, will be that he wants God's people to remain in the promised land of their lives. He wants them to remain not in just in the promised land, but in the promised land of their hearts towards God. He wants them to continue the significant life, which is why today's message is continuing in Christ. And we're going to see how we get that out of this passage. He wants God's people to trust God. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, very famous passage. I'm sure you know this. Write this in the margin. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Trust in the Lord. God wants you to trust Him and trust His plan. Now, sometimes we forget that that's what it's all about. That God has a plan for our lives. That God loves us. That He is a God of love. Now listen, we spoke about this on Wednesday nights of the last 2 weeks. Love is what God is. It's not something that He has or He does. Scripture says in 1 John chapter 5 that God is love. Amen? Amen. And now I want you to imagine that God is infinite, which means He goes on forever. That God is immense, which means that He's big. And God is also imminent, which means He is close. And all of His attributes contain those same three I's. The love of God is what God is. And because He is infinite in His nature, God's love is infinite. Because God is immense, God's love is immense. My grandchildren sometimes say, "Papa, you're hugging me too hard." Amen? And God, because God is also near, God's love is near. And so if you're in this sanctuary today, or you're watching on the internet, or you're listening to this sometime later on, driving in the car on a CD or audio CD or whatever, if people still do audio CDs, I think they download the MP3s nowadays. I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you infinitely. He loves you immensely. And He is near for you to call upon Him. Amen? And God is not only that, and He doesn't want you just to trust Him and His love for. And we want you to know that God's plan is not only that you have eternal life, though praise Him for that, amen? God's plan for you is to make sure that you have an abundant and significant life. Abundantly significant. So listen to me. Don't buy into the devil's lies. You matter. You matter to Almighty God. You matter so much that God formed you by hand in your mother's womb. And because you matter to God, there is a name that you should know. It is a wonderful name. It is a matchless name. It is the name above all names. Amen? Who is it that is declared in John chapter 1 verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Who was it that is written about in Colossians 1:16? It says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and by Him and for Him." Who is it? Whose name is it that Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved"? Who is this person that is being declared? It is none other than the Son of God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians 2 verses 9 through... Philippians 2, where am I at here? Philippians chapter 2 verses 9 through 11 says, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above" what? "Every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." It is the matchless, incredible name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what God's plan is all about. God's plan is for you to live the significant life. And you do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. With that said, turning back to the book of Joshua, let's read today's passage. You'll see it on the screen, but please find your way there in the Word of God. If you have found your way there in a paper Bible, say amen.
Amen.
There we go. Verses 13 through 15. I'm sure you have heard this many times in church. "I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the God which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, listen now, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
What an incredible passage. And so there are four things I want to share today with you that will show you how to live the incredible continuing life of Christian significance. Are you ready? Then what I would like for you to do is place your seats in the upright and locked position. Fasten your seat belts down tight and be prepared to receive the word of the Lord, for Pastor Larry feels like preaching today. So first, friends, if you're there, writing in your notes, what is the first way of living this life of continuing in Christ's significance? First is careful reverence. If you look up on the screen, you will see that. Careful reverence. Look at the first half of verse 14 again. If you're there, say amen. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
Now therefore, what? Fear the Lord. A guaranteed way to lose your walk with the Lord is to lose the awe, the respect. In other words, to lose the healthy fear that we have in the Lord. The Bible repeats this so many times. If you would, please look at the screen. We're going to have a few passages for you to take a look at. First, we see Psalm chapter 24, verse 14. It says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who what?
Fear
Him, and He will show them His covenant." Psalm 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is your goodness." Oh, I love that, don't you? God is good? And all the time. "Which you have laid up for those who what? Fear you. Which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." Two more verses quickly. It says, Psalm 33:18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy." I am so glad I serve a merciful God. My hope is in the Lord. And Psalm 147, verse 11 says, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, and those who hope," once again, "in His mercy." You know, you may be sitting there today asking, whether you're here in the sanctuary or on the internet, "Well, Pastor Larry, I thought our faith was based on the love of God and not on fear." Listen, friends, it is not a contradiction to love the Lord and to fear the Lord as well. Amen? Those that love the Lord fear the Lord the most. They respect the Lord the most. They are in awe of the Lord the most. What kind of love are we talking about? It is the fear of God is love on its knees. Amen? It's not superstitious fear. It's not dread. That's how Satan works. That's how the evil one works. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm number 107. Psalm 107. You're going to love this. 107 verse 1. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. If you're there on a digital Bible, please say amen. I see some of us are still scrolling there. Psalm 107 verse 1. I'll wait till we get there. This is so good. This is so good, I don't want you guys to miss this. I want you guys to get this in your heart. I want you to bury it deep in your heart. Psalm 107, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures," when? "Forever." Meaning God is good? And all the time. "The redeemed of God," that's you by the way, "the redeemed of God should have the proper view of their heavenly Father." Now listen, God is big. God is powerful. God is mighty. And when you think about the power that it took to create the universe and everything in it, God can be scary to some people. But He's not scary to His children. He's not scary to the redeemed of God. The saved, the redeemed that believe in God's promise about the Messiah before Jesus Christ came. The redeemed of those that received Jesus Christ as Lord after the cross of Calvary. So the question is, what is the fear of the Lord? It is reverence for the Lord. It is awe of the Lord. It is incredible wonder and amazement at His awesomeness. How awesome is God? It's not just that He created the universe and everything in it. He built the stars like He did finger painting. That's awesome. It's not just awesome that He is a holy God. It's not awesome only that He hates sin in our lives. He's not just awesome because He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. Here's what's awesome about God, is that He is so awesome, He saved me. That's how incredible my God is. He is an awesome God. It's not that He would save any of us. Pardon me. It's not that He's willing to save all of us. It's that He would save any of us. Amen? When you think about how we go through life, my God is an awesome God. He is awesome all the time. I'm amazed at how often some preachers... If you don't believe this, watch them online. I'm amazed at how some preachers talk carelessly, casually about God. He is not the man upstairs. Don't go around saying, God is my co-pilot either. If God is your co-pilot, the wrong person is driving. God is God. Amen? Preachers that speak that way about God have no place at the pulpit. Listen to me, friends. A preacher should speak God's name with reverence, with awe, to His great majesty. He is a holy God, and we are to fear Him. People begin to lose blessings in their life when they get careless about their relationship to God. I thought I'd get a testimony on that. I'm glad I bought my own. I'm going to say that one more time. People lose blessings in their life when they get careless about their relationship to God. Amen. How important is God to you in your life? How awesome is He? Do you go to pray before Him in fear and trembling, not because He doesn't love you, but because you're aware of who you are? Friends, don't ever lose your fear and wonder about the great Jehovah God. When you do, you lose your promised land. When you do, you lose your ability to continue in Christ with a wonderful life of experience, life of significance. So not only careful reverence, point number two, you must have courageous resolve. That's right, I'm going to have a bunch of C's and R's today. You guys that know me know that's what's coming. Now you see the pattern. Courageous resolve. Look at verse 15 if you would again. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, guys, it is courageous to serve the Lord when others mock and scorn you. And it will happen. If you reveal boldly that you are a Christian, you are a Christ follower, you will be mocked. It's not if, it's when. It will happen. And by the way, I want you to know that word serve there, this is so interesting. You know, you guys know I love studying the original languages. That word serve there literally means to pay homage to, and it's actually literally the same word as worship. Have you ever thought about serving the Lord as an act of worship? Have you ever thought that when you come in early and you serve the Lord by serving on the prayer team, that is an act of worship to your God? Do you ever stop to think that when you greet people in the service, that when you greet people and you hand out the bulletins and things like that and you welcome them, that act of service is an act of worship to your Lord? Have you guys thought about all these young people we see running around here before the service? Sometimes it looks around here like we kicked an anthill open. But we see these young people running around here getting all these things done. And it looks apparently sometimes like they have no idea what they're doing. But they do. I've learned just to stay out of the way. Otherwise, I wind up doing it. But those young people doing that act of service is an act of worship to the Lord. Amen. Guys, don't lose that. The word serve means we are to worship. It means to love Him, to bow down before Him with all of our hearts. With all of our hearts. So how are we to serve Him? Verse 14 says to serve Him in sincerity. Verse 14 says, listen, serve the Lord in sincerity. That's two words, by the way. You put them together, it comes out different. The word sincere, you ready for this? That word sincere is the same exact word. It means without blemish. Stay with me. Don't get ahead of me here. Clean, clear, exactly and perfectly as it should be. It's the very same word used throughout the Old Testament scripture when determining whether an animal could be used for a sacrifice. In sincerity. In other words, if it was acceptable to the Lord. The Lord wants you to serve Him in sincerity. He wants you to serve Him without blemish. In other words, He wants you to worship Him fully, completely. God is not interested in fake worship. God is not interested in mouth worship. God is interested in sincerity and worshiping Him with fear and trembling. Why? Because we love Him. Why? Because our hearts are fully His. When we come before the Father and we sing from the praise team and in the congregation, we should have no thought as to who's singing around us. Why? Because we're singing to Almighty God. That is what our focus should be on. It means to be whole, to be complete, our worship. Listen, guys, if you ever stand up over here, there's a loud clanging cymbal happening right over here where I stand when I worship. Because I'm going to worship loud. And if you're going to stand around me, you better sing louder than me or you're going to hear me. I want to sing loud. I want to pray boldly. I want to serve the Lord with all my heart. Amen? In other words, we're to live as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Amen? I'm to live a life of sincere service. In other words, a life of acceptable, without blemish, worship of God. That everything that I do in my life is an act of sincere, without blemish, worship to Almighty God. How are we supposed to do this? Well, the very first word in verse 14. Look at the very first word there. What is that word? Now. It says now. In other words, I want you to understand that Joshua is putting this in the present tense. The present tense. He is saying, right now, serve the Lord. Have you been thinking about serving somewhere here in Living Hope Church? Right now, serve the Lord. Sure, pray about it, but when the Lord gives you clarity, right now, serve the Lord. I'm so pleased that some of our ladies from this morning got up and went back with the children's ministry. They're going to be teaching in the children's ministry. We've been praying about that for literally 4 years. And now we have people that are going to serve these children. We want those children to grow in the Lord, amen? We want them to have that fear of the Lord. Here's what we want. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Dugal over here, I'm sure that they, when they were raising these young people of theirs, these children of theirs, that there were no problems along the way. They were fine children, being, you know, without blemish. Here's what I want. Listen, we know that's not true. And we know that there are struggles along the way. But I'm thinking that if you have a son that grows up to be a police officer and serves his community, you've done a pretty good job. Amen. You've done a pretty good job. Amen? And so that's what we want. Amen? Right now, serve the Lord. Lord, guys, when I got saved, when I got saved, I gave all I knew about me to all that I knew about Jesus. But back then, I didn't know very much. I didn't know much at all. Amen? And now I've learned a whole lot more about myself. And I've learned a whole lot more about Jesus. And the more that I know about a holy God, the more I'm aware of what I am, the more that I know that I am to live a life of careful reverence, I'm to live a life of courageous resolve to Him. Look at verse 14 again. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Listen, guys, you cannot substitute one for the other. It says, serve Him in sincerity and truth. It doesn't say sincerity or truth. Listen, why is that? Sincerity is no substitute for truth. Amen? Johnny, did you steal that cookie? No, 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 no. When you know he's got crumbs all around his mouth. Sincerity is no substitute for truth. And truth is no substitute for sincerity. Why do I say that? If you worship the Lord and with sincerity, without truth, you're just another fanatic. If you worship the Lord in truth, without sincerity, you're just another terrible legalist. We are to worship the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And by that, by your worship, you serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. When you do that, that's Christian. That's the Christian. I'm going to be preaching a message next week on Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It's about who we are in Christ. In Christ Jesus. Sincerity is sincere worship. And declaring truth is scriptural worship. You might want to write that down. If you got your journals with you, if you got your notepads, sincerity is sincere worship. What do I mean by that? Sincerity is worship without blemish. Your whole heart acceptable to the Lord. Declaring truth is scriptural worship. In other words, thus saith the Lord. That's why I have very few rules around here, but one of them is that any song we sing will have scripture in that song. Or we're not singing it. Amen? Preach right off my notes. Therefore, you need to be steadfast in your worship as well. Look at the end of verse 15. It says, as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. What is it that Joshua is saying? What exactly is Joshua declaring? He's saying, listen, I don't know what choice you're going to make. I can't force you to do anything. And you can serve other gods. You can have other idols in your life if you want to. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In sincerity and in truth. We are going to have biblical, sincere worship in my house. You know, these days in America, people seem to be afraid of standing for anything. Amen? And don't get me wrong, I see that it's tough. You watch the news nowadays, if we went out there as Christians in some places, there'd be some people show up wanting to beat us with baseball bats. That's a fact. We may be called to do that, church. We may be called to do that. You may be called to do that alone. But look at what Joshua is saying. You do what you want. You do whatever you want. But as for me, I'll stand for my God. I'll stand for my God alone if I have to. In church, the closer we get to the end times, the more you're going to have to stand alone. The closer we get to the Lord Jesus coming back, the closer you will become to having to have those moments where you stand alone for Christ. And don't tell me you don't come across this in your workplace. Don't tell me there aren't times when you need to walk away from a group of people because of inappropriate conversation or jokes or whatever. Don't tell me there aren't times you have to walk away from people, men and young men, because the person there is inappropriately dressed. And you can no longer do what I've trained myself to do. There's a wall from the neck down on ladies. I'm not staring in your eyes because they're so beautiful, ladies, although most of them are. I'm staring in your eyes because the Lord tells the pastor to protect his heart. Amen. You know, and I love coming to this church. Ladies, I don't know any other way to say this, but you come to church modestly dressed. I love that. And so does the Lord. Amen? So the closer we get to the end times, the more you're going to have to stand alone. Noah stood alone and is called a fool. Elijah stood alone before Ahab, Jezebel, and then the 450 prophets of Baal. Amos stood alone before the king's court. You and I, we may have to stand alone against the devil's lies, against the world's attacks. Now, we should never divide or be divisive over silly things, amen? But we should absolutely divide over idolatry. We should absolutely divide over idolatry. I'm going to say that one more time. We should absolutely divide over idolatry. We are here to worship God. And Joshua said, if you want to worship those gods, those idols, you go right ahead. But I'm going to serve the Lord. And my house. My house is going to serve the Lord. How does my house serve the Lord? The house is, if I'm the husband, everything that I'm responsible for within the framework of that family, my house will serve the Lord. How does the house serve the Lord? The things in my house. My job. Now listen, sometimes I get it sometimes that things change in midstream. So don't pummel me here after the service, all right? You're supposed to leave church sometimes with a little bit mad at the pastor, but not so mad you're not coming back. When I took my last job, when the economy was bad, and I had to take a job where I didn't work in my home anymore, and I went back to that job, I had to go through 5 interviews where I lost the job because I said, I will not work on Sunday. That day is for the Lord. But when the Lord gave me a job, He gave me an amazing job. And it was for a period of my life, for 2 years. And then after that 2 years, even the couple times when they tried to ask me to work, I refused. I refused nicely. I refused politely. After that 2 years, the Lord lifted Lord lifted the whole economy of America back up just so I could go work back home again. My God is good. Amen. So hallelujah to the Lord. Worship with my whole house. The world is in a battle over the Word of God, and so some so-called preachers have recently said we need to update our theology. Have you heard that? There's some pastors out there saying we need to update our theology. They want us to get into the mainstream. Mainstream. Well, it depends where that stream's headed. Because I'm certainly not going to do that. Listen to your pastor for just a moment, guys. What do we believe? What do we declare at Living Hope Church? We declare the Word of God. We declare, thus saith the Lord. We believe that sin is sin and hell is hot. We believe in the Holy Trinity. We believe that one day Jesus Christ is coming back and He's going to bring us to heaven with Him. We believe that in eternal salvation through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why through Jesus Christ? Because John 14:6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. So listen to me. Don't be afraid of standing for the Lord. Be courageous. Joshua says, I can't control what you do, but I can definitely control what I do. Listen to verse 15 one more time. This is so good. I want you to get this ingrained into your hearts. Read it like this, if you can. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Miss Ruth Ann's mother had a big had a placard that she had in her kitchen that hangs in our house. Miss Ruth Ann has one right in the hallway of our home, right there. I don't know what it's called, but it's a piece of cloth hanging on the wall. And it's got that emblazoned on there. I'm sure, ladies, it has some kind of name. What it is, I know not at all. But it has Scripture on it. So I say it's the Word of God. Amen? Friends, stand strong in the Lord. Have careful reverence. Courageous resolve. Now our third point today. Continual repentance. This is where everybody looks around and goes, well, he must be talking about somebody else here. In verse 14, he says, put away those gods. Now, this is strange. Did you catch that? Were you guys really paying attention, or you just kind of looking spiritual for the pastor this morning? Put away those gods. What is the significance of that? What is the significance of that? He's saying, put away the gods of Egypt. But wait a minute. God's people have been out of Egypt for at least 40 years. A minimum of 40 years. How is it that he's having to tell God's people that have been out of Egypt, that saw the Red Sea parted, that saw the column of fire in the cloud that led them by day and by night, that saw the Lord come down and give them the Ten Commandments, the God that sent manna from heaven in the desert, the God that sent rain into the desert and had water spring up out of the ground? How is it you can see all that in some of these knotheads have false idols? How is that possible? Well, here's how, friends. Have you ever noticed how the bad things in our past try to sprout to life again? How many of you have a testimony in your life? I'm not going to ask you what it is. Just you can raise your hand. We all have a testimony in our life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You ever notice how those things that you thought you had defeated have a way of trying to rear their head again in your life? Absolutely. Those are those hanging around sins. The things that we are spiritually gifted or predisposed toward in our previous life. Residual habits buried deep down in our heart. And friends, those old habits will come back into your life if you're not careful. If you lose that reverence for the God, if you grow weak and not courageous in the Lord, and if you don't continue on in worship of God, they'll come back. They'll come back, and when they come back, they come back demanding that you serve them and not God. It'll put something in your life to say, serve this and not God. It'll put you in a situation where you say, God, I've served you for so many years. How could you put me in this situation? How could you put me living here or working here or sleeping here or having to go through this in my life? How can that be? Friends, have careful reverence for the Lord in those times. Have courageous resolve in your life. And continue repentance. It doesn't mean that you've done some sin. Job had a bad time and he was a righteous man. But don't grow weak in those times. Listen, friends, you will serve someone. You will serve something. And if you don't serve the true God, you will be serving one of those false idols. You will. Well, what is an idol? It is, of course, anything we love more, fear more, serve more, or trust more than Almighty God. That was so good, I'm going to say that again. An idol is anything that we love more, fear more, serve more, trust more than Almighty God. It's when we substitute, thus saith the mind of man, for thus saith the Lord. That's the idol. Now here's something unbelievable as I'm winding this down. I know this will be hard to understand, but God's people in biblical times actually worshiped the false god of Baal at times. Can you imagine that? Baal, the very semblance of Satan, the god of the Amorites, as Joshua is talking about here. How can that be? Here's how. Listen closely. If you're dozed off right now, I want you to come out of your doze and lift your heads. If you're watching on the internet and you've been puttering around, stop what you're puttering around with, look in the camera, and pay close attention. Because America is worshiping Baal today. Four reasons I can point to right away. Get this. Write this down. Don't miss this. How is America worshiping Baal today? Baal worship had four characteristics. It had four points that it really stood on. First, Baal worshipers were pro-choice. Listen to me. Baal worshipers were pro-choice. That's right, they believed in killing babies. Abortion is an abomination against our God and against our nation. It's an abomination. Now the Baal worshippers usually waited until after the baby was born, but if that baby was unwanted, if it was a baby girl, the chances of her living were poor. Baal worshippers were pro-choice. What else? Second, they were environmentalists. They were the tree huggers. Now don't send me letters and writing letters. We are to be good stewards of this earth, amen? We're not to ride down the trash and... Well, I got quiet in here. We're not to ride down the road throwing trash out our windows. If we go camping, we're to take care of where we're camping. If we've been given land, we are to be good stewards of it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you become more concerned with the environment than you are concerned about human beings. In other words, the Baal worship were more concerned about fertility and crops than people. That was Baal worshipers. Third, they lived a promiscuous lifestyle. Going against God's plan for man and woman was at the very core of Baal's worship. And fourth, they wanted to legitimize Baal worship and make it equal with worshiping with God. In other words, all worship is equal. It doesn't matter who you worship, as long as you worship. It can be this or that or the other. Friends, does that remind you of America today? Amen. That's where we are. Friends, sin is sin, and God is not going to grade on a curve someday. Aren't you glad that the only curve you have to worry about is the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? We Christians are to stand firm, steadfast in sincerity and truth against Him. We are to have careful reverence, courageous resolve, continual repentance. And now we come to our closing point. Complete reliance. Rely completely on the Lord. Reliance means to trust God 100%. It means trusting Him when you rise in the morning and when you lie down at night. It means trusting God in the good times. It means trusting God in the bad times. It means knowing and believing in who Jesus Christ is and surrendering your life to His will. We are to trust the Lord our God. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, you'll see it on the screen, Matthew chapter 16, verses 7 through 19. 17 through 19. Do we have it on there? No, we do not. So we're missing something here. Turn in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 16. If you put your Bibles away, we'll all look up at our Bibles, make sure, you know, try to make it noticeable. Matthew chapter 16. All right, the pastor just took as long as he possibly could to get there. Verses 17 through 19, if you're there, please say amen. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Why did I bring that up? Because we're wrapping up right now, guys. Back to the book of Joshua. Look down on that chapter to verses 25 through 28. Joshua chapter 24, verses 25 through 28. If you're there, please say amen. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. And it shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Friends, back then, God was preparing people's hearts and minds for the Messiah, for the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the name of the city that was named there? The city's name was Shechem. And if you were here last week, you know that Shechem means strength. It means stronghold. Christ is our stronghold. Remember, the Bible is a hymn book. It's all about Him, Jesus Christ. Joshua, 110 years old, failing in strength, doing everything that he can to encourage God's people. He bends down, he picks up a rock, and drawing upon God's Shechem, God's strength, he declares in verse 27, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard the words of the Lord which he spoke to us.'" This rock is all about our witness to Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is a rock. He's the solid foundation of our church. Amen? And the church is what Christ will build upon. And it's built upon Him and Him alone. Jesus points to the rock of His church and His promises to return. Joshua pointed to the rock of testimony. The testimony that we have in Christ. And I would like for Miss Ruth Ann to join me up here for just a moment. She's been hiding away back there doing the PowerPoint slides, and I'll let her get back there again. Listen to me, friends. Our God is an awesome God. He is an amazing God. Look at this one more time, because it fills my heart. It fills my soul. It blesses me. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for as me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
And all of God's people said,
"Amen."
Friends, choose you this day whom you will serve. I love serving the Lord with Miss Ruth Ann. She literally is my strength. Next to the Lord, she is my stronghold. Why? Because she's a faithful servant of God. And something so attractive about that. Let me help you down the stairs now. I've seen her bite the dust a couple of times. Listen, friends, God was thinking about you back then. And He's calling to you now. Stop leaning on your own strength. Amen. Call upon His Son. I cannot answer for you. If I could answer for you, I would. If I could receive Jesus Christ for you, I would. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't come through Pastor Larry. You can't come through, if you're watching on the internet, through some confessional booth or some priest. You must come through Christ Jesus. In Christ alone. As we sang earlier. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.